Welcome to the Veritas Equipping Podcast, a podcast designed to provide insight, resources, and biblical wisdom. Our mission as Veritas Church is raise up mature disciples, send out everyday missionaries, glorify God. Join us as we pursue Jesus to become mature disciples and effective disciple makers for God's glory. Church, welcome back to the Beyond the Message podcast. This morning, I have Ian Crosby here with me. Ian, how are you?
I'm good.
And we are continuing on in our 2 Corinthians series. So yesterday, Ian, you had 2 Corinthians 4, 1 through 6. Open that up. Some of the highlights from the message yesterday, continuing to talk about the ministry that Paul has that's been given to him by the mercy of God. It's marked by bold proclamation of the gospel with integrity as a servant of Jesus and others. And then your main idea, Ian, yesterday was when you see the light of the gospel, you boldly proclaim the light of the gospel. So our first question, you started off 8 a.m. I'm not sure if the other ones, but you're like, hey, we've got a lot of different places we could go here. But it seems like you covered, only having those 6 verses covered a good understanding of the text, and we're able to get a lot of what you said. So we were just talking before this, instead of what would you expand or include on, we're going to change up the first question this week.
Ooh.
What would you say you were most impacted by in your study and preparation for this message?
Yeah, I think when I was kind of considering the different messages that could come from this text, it was more so it's like, it's such a rich text that there's a few verses or a couple sections where you could just like completely tangent on or completely like go off on that way. And so in effort to try and just stick in the text, we didn't like have 3 different messages in one. I think kind of the thing that I was most impacted by personally in my study just was really verse 6 when it says, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Mm-hmm. And man, that was just such a sweet connection when you go back to Genesis 1 and you see the same way that God created creation, that he spoke light out of darkness in the first creation. That's how like we're recreated, that he speaks light into the darkness of our hearts so that we can truly see the glory of God through the face of Jesus. And man, that was just such a sweet thing for my soul to be reminded of like, man, apart from God like entering into my heart and speaking light into the darkness, that I have no hope apart from anything.
Which I'm like sitting here thinking about this, just even thinking back to Michael's message last week, just how Paul's connecting all of these things where it's like, hey, remember when you go back and you've got Moses who saw God's backside and his face showed, well, we had to like cover his face, but also like God has shined light into your life and you have that light. And so you go back to it and all this connection of like a hero of the faith in Moses and how he was impacted. Probably some of these Corinthian believers who had just recently experienced an illuminating, life-giving conversion, probably fairly recently, like this, all these things, a connection like, oh, like God creating, like Moses seeing the glory of God. Yeah. Like I see this in Jesus, like all of those things being tied together. And like, that's true for us too. That's super sweet.
And I guess the one spot where it's like, I didn't really spend any time on that, probably could have if there was more time, was like showing Jesus as the glory of God, like showing him as the image of the invisible God, like in Colossians 1 or in Hebrews, when it's the fullness of the glory of God. And so I think those are the two things that I just probably assumed instead of actually diving into just for sake of time. But that's probably the other spot where it's like, I probably could have done a little bit more explaining there, a little more pointing to what does it mean by glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And, but yeah, we see in Colossians 1 that, Jesus is the image of the invisible God.
Yeah.
And so,
and I liked your application question too, even just like pause and reflect of even for churched people, like, cause I grew up in the church. I thought I was a Christian.
Yeah.
But to think like at some point in my early, you know, teens and 20s, of if somebody would ask like, have you seen the light of the gospel? I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like, what does that mean?
And I think,
so I think to pause and think like the, not just like the duty and religiosity, but like, is Christ beautiful to you?
And I think that's just a hard thing to consider sometimes. Yeah. It's like, especially when you grow up in church and you've heard the gospel 1,000 times and you know the ins and outs of it intellectually, but you can know the ins and out of it intellectually and not have the light of the gospel like revealed to you, like, and not have God had spoken light so that you can actually see his glory in the face of Christ. And so I think, I think that's the hard work of everyone who claims the name of Jesus. It was like, okay, you say you're a Christian, but have you, like, are you truly a Christian? Like, have you truly seen the glory of God in Jesus? Like, do you see him as the glorious savior that he is? Or do you just know a bunch about the Bible and know a bunch about the gospel?
Right. Yeah, that's interesting. Hmm. Super sweet. Second question. So verse 2 basically says, we don't try to trick anyone or distort the word of God. Mm-hmm. That's, I think I looked at, that might have been the NLT translation there.
Sure.
But just like looking at, okay, what's kind of the brass tacks here of like what's being said. What do you think, Ian, are some common means of distorting God's word or unwise ways that people approach God's word? Or maybe like the question might be, how do you guard against intentional and unintentional distortion of God's word?
Yeah, I think some of the common ways I see a distortion of God's word is sometimes it's just out of a desire to be liked by the people you're talking to.
Sure.
And it's just like, I don't want to say the hard truth that you actually need to hear. So I'm going to kind of like skirt around that in scripture. Or if you're sharing the gospel with someone, you distort it by just watering down their sin and to just try and not make them feel as bad. And like you just cater to their emotions instead of their reality. I think that's a common way that I think we can distort the gospel or distort God's word and just twist it to make it seem like maybe they're better than they actually are, make it seem like the gospel, like anytime that we try and make it seem like we can make the gospel feel and seem better than it already is, we're going to twist God's word and distort it from being what it truly is. So I think that's probably a common one I see.
Yeah. So that might be the more probable unintentional of like not really even thinking about the consequence of that. What about just like blatant intentional twist? Like where do you see that or like things that we should have our guard up against of like this something's off here. This is not helpful.
Sure. I think we can see this a lot, like especially with social media and like you see a bunch of pastors and messages and sermons online, and but they always just like give you little snippets of things, and I think in those snippets we can be deceived even a little bit, and it's like we take their message out of context and the truth is even distorted to us because we're not actually listening to the whole thing. But there are times where it's like someone can give a message or go off on a tangent trying to prove a point and then using God's word to prove their point instead of using like God's word to prove the point of God's word.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Towards like you can twist it in the way of like, here's what I want to say. This is how I can use scripture to back up what I want to say as opposed to this is what scripture says. And so this is what we're going to talk about.
Kind of just the like even unintentionally or maybe intentionally. Yeah. Like if you're like, okay, I've got a point that I'm hot and bothered by. Like, I'm going to go find the chapter and verse to like make my point. There are very clear things that's, and we should be very clear where scripture is very clear. But then there's other things that are like, this is a gray issue. Like what you're saying, the Bible says, like, that's not actually truly what that said to the original audience and is informed by the gospel and applied to it. Like in the whole counsel of God, is that point actually what you're saying it says, or is it, are you making a point and then trying to affirm it with?
Yeah. And I think anytime we take scripture out of context, that's what we end up doing. Like, I think that's probably the most common way that we distort God's word is we just take it out of context to say what we want to say. Like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's like, It's really
Superman.
It's really easy to think I can go compete at an Olympic level because Christ gives me strength. And it's like, no, that's not what Paul is talking about there.
You don't know what you're talking about.
I just watch you eat an entire frozen pizza. Right.
With like the context, you go back, is it 4:10 or 4:11? It's like directly before that. It's like, I've learned the secret. I'm to be content whether I'm brought high or I'm brought low. Yeah. Therefore, I can do all things through Christ.
And so
strength.
Anytime we take God's word out of context to make it seem like something we want to hear, we're twisting God's word.
Sure.
And we're making it more about us than about God and more about what we want to hear more than what God wants to say to us.
So I should put, is it Philippians 4:11? Whichever one it is that says I should be content. Might be 4:10. I'm going to start putting that under my eye black at my football games.
Yeah.
See, like, wait a second.
If you're playing football games, I want to go watch you.
Dude, have you seen any of those videos of like the 30-year-old and like man football games in full pads?
No.
It's carnage.
That sounds hilarious though.
Who pays your medical bills? Like, this sounds terrible. Like, you have to go to work on Monday. What are you doing? Anyways, let's not digress too far. It's 4:11. So that's going to be on my eye black. Philippians 4:11.
I like it. But I think that leads us to, it's like, how do we guard against those things? Because as people who have access to social media, people who go to church, people who are listening to people talk about God's word, like, how do we be on guard against the twisting of God's word?
Yeah. Which it is. I mean, you go back to the Great Commission. I'm on a little soapbox journey of like, one of the most under talked about points in the Great Commission is to go and teach others what Christ has commanded us. Well, we can't teach others what we don't know Christ has commanded us for ourselves. So just that of like, we're called to be people of God's word. Yeah. So the more we're saturated with God's word, like, it's the whole, you know, Secret Service. How do they study counterfeit bills? Well, they don't like study all the different counterfeits. They study the real thing. Mm-hmm. So when we're immersed in God's word, we know where, like, that's off. That's not what that actually says. Or like, there's other scriptures that apply here that we can understand that in context. So just being good students of God's word and being saturated in that is going to help us to be able to smell when things are off and like, maybe I don't share this. Maybe this isn't something that I'm going to.
And like, I think kind of adding on to that, anytime you hear something, whether it sounds questionable or not, like, just go into God's word yourself and like, all right, does God's word actually say this? So what is the context that this was being talked in? And so same thing as like knowing God's word, but also being quick to go back to God's word when you're hearing things. That way you're not just taking people's word for it, but you're able to go directly to it.
Yeah, that's good. Last question here, Ian. One of your applications points was to be someone who proclaims the gospel with our words and our life. I want to hone in a little bit more on the life of gospel proclamation bit. What are stories of people that you've been impacted with the way that they proclaim the gospel in their lives? So I'm not saying the whole like preach the gospel and when necessary use words, but like truly people that have that's a different time. I think we've talked about that quite a few times, but we are called to proclaim the gospel. Absolutely. Not undermining that, but just saying somebody that has just been that intentional person in your life with the way that they've lived in integrity and pursued Christ and have impacted you. It could be like somebody personally that you know or a storied hero of the faith that has impacted you. What do you got? Yeah. What's some of that?
Yeah. And I think ultimately what that is getting down to is, like you said, there's someone who lives out of integrity of the life that they have been given in Christ. And, I think someone that comes to mind is someone at my old church in Texas. His name is Rocky. And just like any time that you talk to him, you're just like, oh, you love Jesus. Mm-hmm. Like, your life just proclaims that. Like, he has a desire for all people to know Christ. And that's evident in the way that he talks, evident in the way that he interacts with people. He's always the same type of person, no matter who he's around. He's just like, he knows that he doesn't have anyone to impress or prove. He's just doing what he's doing. And so I think just my interactions with him have always just been like, man, you have like just an integrity in the way that you live, that you're not trying to be someone you're not to please other people. You just really understand your identity in Christ. You really understand who you are, and that impacts the way that you mm-hmm. live. And so even in the conversations him and I have had in the past of just, yeah, it's just really evident of a life that's proclaiming the work of Jesus, because he doesn't feel like he has to
Sweet.
Like do those things anymore. And so, yeah, I would say that's like a specific example. I think in general, though, it's like I look at the leadership here in our church. I'm just so thankful for our leadership, thankful for our elders and the pastors that we have here who they display this. Like they display that they have seen God. They've seen the glory of God through the person of Jesus. They have integrity with how they handle God's word. They love God's word, and it's evident in the way that they use social media. If they do, it's evident in the way that they have conversations with people. It's evident. It's evident just in all of their life that when you interact with our elders and pastors and leaders here, it's like, okay, you guys get it. Like you have a life that is proclaiming the work of the gospel, not just trying to appear better than you are.
Yeah. Yeah. That's sweet. I think too, even the thing that I was kind of thinking about is just that encouragement of I can think of quite a few people who God has used to like deeply impact me on a spiritual level. And I'm forgetting, it was maybe about 6 months ago or something. There was kind of like a call of like, hey, like be an encouragement to those people that have like spurred you on in the faith. And just that, like, and this is not like you mentioned Rocky and leadership here. I'm saying like, if you've got a connection group leader that you think has challenged you and demonstrated this well, like tell them that, like in like just more of the idea that like we're going to continue to like grow in gratitude for not like, oh, what are the blessings I'm getting by the way that people are pouring into me, but more of just that intentionality of like seeing God at work through others and how that's impacting you, and that can glorify God and continue to like encourage people and spur them on in that. I just think of just living a life of gratitude in that sense is super helpful. So yeah, that's great.
For sure.
Sweet. Ian, thanks for joining us this morning. Thanks for opening up God's word yesterday, being faithful to the text and walking us through that. I'm super thankful that we're going through 2 Corinthians right now. It's been, just sweet. I think I've said each week, I'm like, oh, I'm just like super blessed by this. Like big surprise, right?
Yeah.
Like we're just walking through God's word. And I think, in the midst of our cultural moment, it's easy to get wrapped up in all the stuff that's happening out there all the time, but to lift our eyes to heaven and glorify God and just be focused on the fact that like we have seen the light of the gospel and we get to boldly proclaim the light of the gospel. And that's super sweet. So thanks, Ian. Love you, church. Thanks for joining us. Bye.